Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
Back to the program. We have been waiting now for some time to see when exactly Matt Corral would be throwing in Oxford. So let's take it back to the coverage and let Peter and Roman and Greg pick it up from here, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. Indeed, we're getting ready to head down to Oxford. There he is. Where's the headband, Roman Harper?
It's a big concern for me, PB. This is not you, Matt Corral. I want to see you throw the rock, but I want to see your headband. Because that is you. You are a headband swag type guy. Don't lose that.
You think he's cleaning up just for this, for all the scouts?
I think he is. He's trying to put on a good show. He's got to be, you know, I want to look the part. I want to be able to represent all 32 organizations, whoever chooses me, finishing off his sentences. He's not going to give you any slang today. He's giving you a little bit more of the cleaner version, the cleaned up version of Matt Corral.
We will see that as we are cleaned up here in studio. Peter Burns, Roman Harper. We're not the only ones, though. There in Oxford is our cohort. Always looks good. Greg McElroy. G-Mac, you're going to see Matt Corral now with Jerrion Ealy run some routes early. What do we want to see in this and just overall for the day from Matt?
Well, I'll just start kind of with what y'all were saying. Like, I've been to probably 20 of these, everyone from Dak Prescott to Mac Jones, you name it. I've never been to one where they had music, ever. So this is kind of a first to kind of create, I guess, what is a little bit of a vibe here in the indoor practice facility. Now, the big thing with his wide receivers and with the running backs that will be participating, but it's about Matt Corral. As much as we love the wideouts, as much as I think they have a really talented nucleus of weapons that he's going to be throwing to throughout the next 30 minutes, Matt Corral is the guy that's taking center stage. He's the reason why there's four NFL head coaches here in attendance. He's going to have to not just display accuracy, but NFL-level accuracy, like we talked about a little bit earlier. NFL-level accuracy is not completion versus incompletion, and all completions are good throws. Not the case. NFL-level accuracy is if a throw requires it to be on the left shoulder, it's on the left shoulder. If it's the right shoulder, it's the right shoulder. If it's a face mask, it's the face mask. We want to see throws like that from Matt Corral. And then the other thing, too, like so many other quarterbacks have done in recent years, it's become very trendy when it comes to the pro days. We want to see the off-platform throws. Things that are really abnormal, things that are uncomfortable to showcase flexibility and raw natural arm talent. So those are the things that we can expect from him today. And then I also think, too, he's going to want to show off mobility. Y'all, the last time we saw him on a competitive field, he was rolling around in pain. And that's not something that scouts wanted to see at the end of his college career. He's now at 100%. He's back to fully healthy after the high ankle sprain. Show mobility. Show that that's no longer going to be an issue and that you have a clean bill of health heading into the next couple months of evaluation.
I would love to see Matt Corral on the run. I care less about the wow throws and more about his accuracy and what Greg is talking about. Mm-hmm. Make sure ball placement is so important in the NFL because the windows and your opportunities to complete passes are so much smaller. So you have to throw it into tighter windows. And can he drive the football in those 20 to 25 yard completions over the middle of the football, which a lot of NFL teams run on Sundays.
So, Roman, you were talking about it. I want to bring Greg into this conversation as we get ready to watch Matt Corral start his pro day. So just that the offense for Matt Corral under Lane Kiffin, how much does that play into what you see in the NFL, Roman? Like, how much do you see that?
Very little. Very little. I think Lane Kiffin is so unique in the way he attacks defenses that you don't see it. A lot more formation, a lot more tempo. But when it comes to what you do in and out of the huddle on Sundays, you're not seeing it. And I know a lot of more teams in the NFL are starting to do a little bit more of what college flavor is, but it's not completely
like
there
RPOs
yet.
Like RPOs.
Right. But it's not there yet. So I want to see traditional drop back passes, play action passes, things that I did not see him do well at Ole Miss or never even attempted to do, that he has the ability and the footwork to be able to get his feet underneath him, be able to make the throws on time and with accuracy, because that's one thing you loved about him on film, his back shoulder throws, his timing and the accuracy and when he was letting the ball go, and also his toughness that he showed throughout the year. So I want to see that again, and now that he's healthy, I want to see if we can get these same things kind of implemented again, or can we recreate them today?
G-Mac, as you get a little bit closer to the action there, I mean, what are those routes we will see that he needs to be able to show that he can do to play on the next level?
You know, right now, he's actually getting ready to go. He's talking with the wide receivers and the running backs. They're about to do a box drill. I would assume it looks like it's going to be some short area quickness stuff for the wide outs and for the running backs. Not sure exactly what it's going to be, but we'll see exactly what it is and what Matt Corral's involvement is. But I think the biggest thing for him, man, is the mobility is huge. That's one thing he was very willing to do. And I think, too, man, you got to be yourself. So I appreciate already that there's a little bit of a flavor in this pro day experience, because if there's one thing that we know about Matt Corral is that he's hyper competitive, bordering on crazy. And those are, I think, are, by the way, crazy in a normal vernacular, not a positive. Crazy in a football vernacular, extremely positive.
We love
the guy is extremely competitive, and he's a great leader, and he's a guy that a lot of people rally to. So I think showing that and getting showing some energy, showing some personality, showing some of that in between some of these throws would be really advantageous, because you want to see the guy that you're going to get all the time. And I think the guy that you're going to get all the time is a guy that's insanely passionate about football and pretty much everything he does involving football.
Well, and he didn't have to play in the Sugar Bowl. Remember, there was a big conversation on whether that, and Matt Corral was asked afterwards, hey, after the injury, do you regret that, Roman Harper? And he said, absolutely not. He wanted to be there. And I think that's, people like that moxie, and one of the reasons why they like the attitude of this year.
Well, they wanted to get to 11 wins. That was a big deal for Ole Miss as a program and where they were trying to be. Matt Corral wanted to lead his team. He had been there all year. He didn't run from competition. And like Greg said, he's a highly competitive guy that has his teammates behind him. That's what you love about him as a quarterback, and that's what you want to hear about a future quarterback on your team. I told you earlier, I still want him to break out the headband at some point, because I've never seen him throw a pass without a headband. So I would love to see if Greg can maybe get him one from the back. He talks about the swag and the feel in the room of what they got going. Break out the headband, it'd be even better.
G-Mac, there you go. You got a little homework for you going forward. We see him throwing that. That is just what we call it, what, a box drill? Is that what you call it, just allowing those guys to kind of run, showing their mobility and move on to the next drill?
Yeah, and this isn't really about Matt Corral. It's actually funny watching him from the side, just how short his release is. And I'm looking at it, it's kind of like, I mean, it's like throwing darts, man. I mean, there's no windup. It's straight from the ear. But this really isn't about Matt Corral, this drill in particular. It's about the short area quickness and how quickly these wide receivers and running backs can get in and out of breaks. So he's helping them out, but basically he's a camp arm in this drill in particular. But you can still see the fundamentals and the mechanics. Like when you look at Matt Corral and you watch him, all right, where's that ball being released from? And some guys have a real long windup. I mean, we've seen that on several occasions. Like Sam Darnold, for instance, has a very long release. Matt Corral right now, just looking at him, a few of these throws up close, I mean, there's no wasted motion. It's really quick, and that ball's on the receiver really quickly as well.
G-Mac, is that something that players work on? Like, obviously, throughout the season, they have it, and they want to get rid of it as quick as possible, but maybe something Corral has worked with his coaches, saying, hey, for this day in particular, we're trying to work on that reaction time, getting just a touch quicker and a little bit more snap?
I think in a perfect world, yeah, you'd love to have the shortest release ever and have the quickest release ever, like Dan Marino. I mean, the guy's got the best stroke of anyone that's maybe ever played the game. And then you have other guys like Tim Tebow, for instance, who drops it way below his waist, you know, into his mid-thigh. So, and he actually actively worked on throughout the time between his final college game and to the time that he was a first-round pick and he was through the evaluation process, he really worked on shortening up his release. So it's something you can work on, and in these drills, you can showcase the improvements, but it really kind of comes down to who you are on game day. Like, as you're thinking about self-preservation and you're thinking about, I don't want to get hit, how you're going to revert back to what your muscle memory is. So yeah, in these drills, you can showcase a more compact stroke, But as things start happening on game day and bullets starts flying, you know, that's when you kind of reveal who you really are. So, yeah, there's been plenty of guys that have worked on that throughout the course of a 2 or 3 month period. But that's like a 5 or 6 year change. So what Matt Corral does year 5 or year 6 in the league, that's when his release and how quick his release might work, that's when you'll really start to see the start to reap the rewards of some of those changes and some of those reps.
Let's get a little bit more to build upon what you just said from Jordan Reed, a little instant analysis about Matt Corral's delivery.
Matt Corral, quarterback, Ole Miss, a player whose development has gotten better over the past 2 seasons, and the biggest development of where he's improved the most is just taking care of the football. 11 interceptions alone in 2 games against LSU and Arkansas in 2020, and he reduced that number all the way down to 5. Last season. So he took better care of the football, but also one word that I would use to describe Corral's game overall is just quick. He processes things very quick. He has a quick delivery as well. He's kind of reminiscent of a baseball player in that everything is just fast in his game overall. So Corral may need to sit during his first year, but I think he eventually could turn into a starter during that second or third year of his development on the next level.
You know, it's interesting when you hear that too. There's 4 different teams or head coaches that are there. Roman, we're talking Mike Tomlin with Pittsburgh, Matt Rhule with Carolina. They need a quarterback right now. Atlanta, Arthur Smith is in the house, and the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy. How quickly can that development happen for a guy like this?
Well, easily with all those teams you just named outside of Atlanta, they already have us. Well, Atlanta just signed Marcus Mariota, so they all have starting quarterbacks on their roster already there. So whoever they will bring in of those 4 teams that you just named, they all have time. There's not in a rush to all of a sudden be forced into playing when you're not ready or you have a lot of pressure to carry the whole organization, and you're now being blamed for the reason why they're losing and not why they are winning. So watching him throw the ball, it really reminds me of Jimmy Garoppolo, the way he's patting the football before he throws the ball every single time. I'd like for him to get rid of the pat, because that is a temp or a telltale sign as a DB. We look at those things as well. So those are little things that somebody that actually watches him and scouts him all the time, I would probably tell him if I'm a DB on his team, like, hey, you know, every time you throw the ball or about to throw it, you pat it.
It's like a poker tell, right?
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I know when you have a hand, when you do this, if you're going to pat it, I understand that that's about
to Or you out. Can use it to your strength and say, hey, every time you want a double move, make sure you pat it right before you get ready to do the double move.
There it is.
These are how you be a good teammate and help them out as well.
These are these small things you'll learn, especially 71 total personnel. You see, it's a busy day, too. As we saw, Ohio State had their pro day. So, you know, there's a lot of NFL scouts that have said, hey, listen, we'll go up to Columbus as well, as I think there were like 7 or 8 other schools having their pro day. But that's a pretty sizable crew, Roman, that's down there in Oxford for today.
Well, look, anytime you have a quarterback that's being talked about in the first round, people will show up, because you're not going to draft a quarterback if the organization, if the owner, the coaches, and everybody else that has his hand in it signs off on it and says this is the guy, because not only is he going to play for us, but he also has to be the face of your organization when you're the quarterback.
Greg, when we look at it, and obviously you know how quick the delivery is, arm talent-wise, does he have that? I mean, I don't know if it's Malik Willis-type arm strength or Jamarcus Russell for whatever reason, but does he have that strength to snap it on the next level?
Yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of arm, man. Like, the most overrated quality in the entire world when it comes to evaluating quarterback talent is arm talent. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl when his arm was far from what it once was.
Like, was
you can
game,
certainly
Greg,
get
relax.
By if you have a great understanding of how to overcompensate for that arm talent. So if that's something that's potentially lacking, you make up for it by having a shorter release, a quicker release, and being able to anticipate throws. I think he does a great job of all those things. I think Matt Corral's got really good instincts, excellent instincts. Now, this is not a setting in which those instincts will necessarily come to the forefront, but what this is really important to show, you can show that quick release, you can see the ball placement, you can see how he can drop it into buckets, and you really want to see, like you heard Todd McShay tell us earlier, 40% of his, he completed 40% of his passes on throws that traveled more than 20 yards downfield. That's not a good number for guys that are being considered at the top of the NFL draft. So he wants to show that now, and I think it's a great opportunity to do that here against no defense and to show off some of that arm strength.
Well, we are going to start with that in a real quick break. We will be right back. Matt Corral's Pro Day starts in Oxford.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. We're going to take you right back to Ole Miss's Pro Day in Oxford.
The things that helps him out or not?
Yeah, yes, I think he does. I think he does a good job of always running and scrambling to create plays for himself. This year was a special year where they had so many injuries on the wide receiver position that he was forced to sometimes be their best running back when Connor went down, when Ely went down. So he probably took too many hits for my liking, and just like other scouts are probably saying, we want you to run less. But traditionally, he is a guy that usually scrambles to pass and bride time for his receivers to get open. And you got to be able to move guys with your eyes. I think the better you are as a quarterback with your eyes, the better and more accurate of a thrower you will be, because you're able to move defenders playing zone and now opening up windows for you to be able to throw it in the second or third window down the field like that one right there.
Looking at Matt Corral right now there in Oxford for his pro day. G-Mac, we're seeing him kind of alternate between behind center and shotgun as well, too. I would imagine we'll see that throughout the day.
Yeah, I mean, you want to give a little bit of both. One thing that you've seen, obviously, a lot from Matt Corral, you've seen RPO footwork. You've seen him play kind of from a shotgun without having to take a true drop. So I think it's really important for him probably do a little heavier dose of under center than most quarterbacks probably would. I mean, he lives in the shotgun. He probably will live in the shotgun in the NFL. That's not the end of the world. But I think just to show that you can do it, show that you've been working on it, is something that he obviously wants to prioritize. So far, I think it's been a pretty good show. I mean, there's a lot of revolutions on the football. That's one thing I've noticed watching him and seeing all the guys at the combine and seeing all the guys at the Senior Bowl. He, of course, wasn't at the Senior Bowl. He really spins the football. I mean, a lot of revolutions, tight spiral, catchable football. Just a lot of things to like with how the ball comes out of his hand.
Is that something, again, dumb question, you guys both played on that very high level, but, you know, if you're talking Pittsburgh or Cleveland, a place where it's a little bit windier than other words, I mean, is that part of the why it's so important to have that rotation that you're talking about, G-Mac, on the ball?
Yeah, any flutter is going to really be, you know, exponentially grown in wind or any other conditions. So yeah, what we used to always say is you got to be able to cut the wind. Mm-hmm. And the way you cut the wind is by really having a tight spiral on your throw. So that's really, really important. Another thing that helps, obviously, in weather are big hands. So we already know, it's been well documented, the challenges that Kenny Pickett has as far as hand size. But, you know, I mean, a differentiating factor, I mean, that does matter. As much as we want to try to turn it down and say, oh, it doesn't matter, watch the tape, yeah, that's fine. But if you can't really tell the difference between any of these quarterbacks and you're kind of tied and you view all five kind of on the exact same level, that might be one physical characteristic that could potentially lead you to take one guy over another. So it's just like taking a guy that's 6'4" over a guy that's 5'10". I mean, I think all of us, we would still take the 5'10 guy, but if the 6'4 guy is the exact same quality, I'd take the 6'4 guy just because the size, I think, is advantageous when playing behind an NFL size offensive line.
And one of the things, too, is he clocked in at earlier, 6'1, 205, but it looked like, I think we saw up towards like 215, right?
On the scale to
Roman. So a little bit, maybe something that he worked on is, hey, making sure you get that number up a little bit before this pro day?
I would. I like my quarterbacks a little bit heavier because that's when a 300-pounder lands on you, I think you're going to survive. That is why you want your quarterbacks above that 205 range because they're going to get hit. You can't protect them from everything. And these guys move faster and they play bigger. And so that's what you're talking about. Greg talked about bigger, faster, stronger. Well, not only at quarterback do they look at those same ratings and numbers, they look at them at D lineman as well. So you want to see these guys continue to flourish. I'm just appreciating watching Matt Corral be in his element. He looks like he's having fun. He's getting a little bit of a sweat like a boxer. Now he's getting some water. The ball's coming out like Greg was talking about with a lot of revolutions. I know he can flat out spin it, but I want him to be who he is. That's why I was asking about the headband, because this is something I anticipated to put on. This guy was going to put on a show today when it came to accuracy and throwing a catchable football. You watch the film on him all year long. His receivers do not double catch the ball because the ball is a tight spiral and it's easy to catch. It's something to be said about throwing the ball hard, but it's something another thing to be said about, no, I throw in a catchable football where my guy is going to make an easy catch when he comes down the field.
G-Mac, we're hearing some applause there as we're starting to see some of these a little bit longer throws kind of touch towards the end. What are we seeing here late into these drills?
Well, this is when you really start to air it out. The receivers are warm. You have no problem pushing the accelerator a little bit as you try to push the ball down the field. But, this is a really important couple minutes for Matt Corral, is just showcasing some of that touch down the field, because so much of what they did was within 10 to 15 yards, 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. Being able to show, throwing the ball over the top, showing that the ball can turn over, showing the ball placement on the downfield accuracy on the downfield throws won't be affected whatsoever. So I think it's really important for him to be very accurate on some of these push passes.
G-Mac, give me a percentage-wise. If we're saying when it comes to draft day and drafting a quarterback, 95% game film, 5% combine pro day, or is it 70-30? Like, what does it depend on the team? What's the breakdown here?
I think it just depends on the team, first and foremost. I think you would go probably 75% off of game tape. I think you would go 10% off of measurables. I think you go 10% off of upside. And I think you go 5% off of personality characteristics and just what type of guy you are. Because there's been a lot of people. First of all, you don't even get considered if you don't have the game film. So that's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. It's also a non-starter if you're 5'7". So measurables is also a bit of a non-starter. So basically you eliminate all the people that wouldn't be qualified for the position right there. But what separates, I think, the super elites from the 6th, 7th round picks, undrafted guys that don't play in the NFL, The difference is a little bit of game tape, I think personality characteristics, I think competitiveness, toughness, all those size, like all those things kind of factor in, but at the end of the day, it is game tape. I mean, these workouts are very important. They're very, very important. But I don't think anybody is going to be defined by what they do in a pro day. Like, I saw Dak Prescott have the worst pro day I've ever seen. I'm not kidding, the worst pro day I've ever seen. And his draft grade suffered as a result. He got drafted in the 4th round, but it didn't affect the type of player he was or the type of player he inevitably became. So, these things are important and they can hurt you. We've seen quarterbacks get hit hard for poor pro day performances, but they're an anomaly. Most of the time, you're only securing what people already thought about you.
G-Mac, what constitutes, you say Dak Prescott had one of the worst you've seen. What made it one of the worst you had seen?
Well, he was going super tempo. He was throwing wobbly balls. He was way, way, way too fast with how he worked. I mean, he was trying to showcase how hard he worked and how he could, he wouldn't showcase how tired he would be. It was just a really bad day. I mean, he was missing throws, wobbly passes all over the place, bad footwork. It was really bad. I think he would probably even tell you it was really bad. And I was bummed, too, because I love Dak. and loved covering him up until that day, but was worried about how that might impact his draft position. It did, but ultimately, it happened for a reason. Like, he went where he needed to go. And he obviously fell into a great situation with the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, the rest is history. He's now one of the highest paid players in the history of the game. So it's, you know, the diamonds are there. I mean, but unfortunate thing about quarterback, a lot of it has to do with where you go. Right. And a lot of it has to do with the type of organization you fall into. And if you go to a bad organization, it's really difficult to flip the script. It can happen, but it's a lot more challenging. So sometimes those falls, like Dak Prescott had, they're for the best, because you go to a great organization with a great roster that can compete, and next thing you know, you're in the playoffs as a rookie. So it's not always about who you are, but it's about who chooses you as well.
Ben Roethlisberger comes to mind when he dropped in the draft. I mean, Aaron Rodgers sat on the bench for a long time. I mean, very rarely do you get a Joe Burrow-type guy, Roman, who, hey, all of a sudden you snap your fingers in the right place at the right time, you catch success.
You know, and a lot of times when you fall in the draft, quote unquote, you usually go to a better team.
Right,
with better players around you,
and
a better run organization. So it's not always a bad thing when you quote unquote fall. You always end up in the place you're supposed to be at the right time. So it's all about what you do when you get there, no matter when your name's called, and everybody talks about it on draft day. When it comes to Matt Corral specifically, whether he's drafted in the first round or early in the second round, he's going to end up going to a team, and he's going to have to battle for the position. And a lot of people are saying that he's not going to play this year. If I'm him, I'm telling him to have the opposite mentality, because you need to be ready to go. You look at how many injuries happen to quarterbacks every year, including the preseason. You got to be ready. And the biggest thing is when your name is called, to be ready for that opportunity and don't ever look backwards. Because the worst thing that ever happens is to, next you know, be cast out there or thrown out there like a Josh Rosen and not take advantage of the opportunity, because you don't get a second and third opportunity a lot of these times the way the NFL is going right
now. Well, and he's battled as well, too. I remember when we did our spring tours a while back when he was a freshman out of California. We're like, all right, well, is this guy going to transfer out because he's not getting that love? He was a big-time recruit, but he battled back and won that job, G-Mac. And so that goes to show you a little bit of the work ethic of him sticking it out. Now, of course, Lane Kiffin and him running that offense probably helped as he was able to put up some pretty monster numbers. But, I think that's part of the moxie that teams like, as they start looking at all the different quarterbacks that are going to be available. Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, all three of those guys, according to Mel Kiper Jr., GMAC, are projected to go in the first round this year.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, too, because I don't think any of the five have really differentiated themselves.
Like,
I've watched all of them. I've watched all the tape on all the quarterbacks coming out that would be considered as a possibility as the top overall guy. And there hasn't been one right now that's just secured it with a remarkable performance last year, or, you know, a noteworthy throw or whatever it may be. There just hasn't been that moment yet. So I think it's very much up for grabs. And, you know, I think that it could very easily, in a draft like this, when every guy might have some question marks, I would not be surprised at all if it comes down to personality. All right, who is the guy that has the best personality for us as an organization? Who is the best fit, if you will? And when the characteristics and the traits and the physical attributes are indecipherable, maybe that is kind of where you go. That and upside. So I think those kind of be the two things that could separate. And at this point, you know, I think it's anybody's guess as to, you know, what the pecking order might be amongst these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking, you know, what Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder in that group as well. Sam Howell kind of fell off a little bit at North Carolina, but he'll be looked at by some people. Roman, how much do you think that plays into it? For a GM, for him to sit there in an interview and go, oh, I don't regret it. I was playing with my teammates. I played for Ole Miss. Like, it's a great quote. We eat it up. We love it. Does it matter in the NFL, truly? Do you think somebody might say, I like that guy. He went to war for his team.
Yes, and you got to look at it. Every other quarterback in this draft
played in all their games too. So it's not really a separator in this year's class when it comes to playing in bowl games or leaving it all out there. At the end of the day, all they're mad at is that you got hurt while you did it. So does it really matter? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we want you healthy when you step into our organization, into our room. And everything that you did in college no longer matters. It's all about what you do for us going forward. That is the biggest deal for this young man, and I want to see him continue to flourish. I'm a big fan of his. I loved what he did at Ole Miss. I loved that he helped build them. And when he left them in a better position than when he showed up. To me, that matters.
Yeah.
All right? That matters to me. And you could say that same thing about Desmond Ridder. You could say it about Malik Willis. And you could also say it about Kenny Pickett winning the ACC.
Yeah, let's take this one step further because you're like, it mattered for him, but it
not
mattered also. Yeah, but it also mattered for the team as well, too. Lane Kiffin, this is an important day, not only for Matt Corral, but his players. But GMAC, when it comes to recruiting, what's the first thing when we step on campus in Oxford or any SEC school, really any big time college football program? They show how much money NFL players have made, how many players they have in the league. Like, how big is it for just Lane and recruiting wise? To say, hey, we had a QB go in the first round. You want to be next?
Well, it's big, too. I mean, I think it's massive. I mean, there's no doubt, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, right? I mean, look at Oklahoma. They've become a destination when Lincoln Riley was there for how many grad transfer quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, multiple guys that transferred went on to become first overall pick, and Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and then Jalen Hurts now is a starting quarterback in the league. So you had three in a row because it was an attractive destination. Well, the portal's always open. And obviously Jackson Dart is here on campus as a result of what Matt Corral did in a Rebels uniform. So I think that absolutely matters. And if they can showcase that, hey, this is a place where you can not just win, but you can compete for a Heisman Trophy, you can compete against the best players in college football, and then you can parlay all those experiences into a first-round pick, that's significant. So him getting picked in the first 32 picks is of the utmost importance for this program and to prove that, hey, man, you can come here and accomplish everything you could ever want. And it's you're not going to do it like everybody else. Like, everybody else is going to Georgia. Everybody else is going to Alabama. Like, come do it here. It's never been done here before. Come do it with us. Come help us usher in a new era. And I think that's the message. And, you know, if you can showcase the fact that you can create that pipeline to the league, you know, that'd be really big for Coach Kiffin and for everyone associated with this program.
You know, it's all about showcasing that Lane Kiffin in this program is quarterback friendly. That's what it's all about. And the conversation never stops, right? And that is, do we have a quarterback? Do we have a quarterback? The conversation never stops until you get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Once you get a quarterback, then you can build all the other pieces around him to help you win. So if they continue to do it what they're doing, like Greg said, you can come to Ole Miss and do it like where nobody else is doing it. You can do it just a little bit differently than, you know, being in the Sugar Bowl was great last year, but we have higher expectations.
For those of you listening on radio, we'll take a short break. Be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
He looked good. A lot of throws, a lot of different movements. We have a lot of guys out here, so it's not really my evaluation day. So it's for these guys to watch him next level.
I'm sure you've been asked, because we've seen a number of head coaches, but when they ask you, Coach, about Matt Corral and what he can bring to a program, I think the answer is pretty obvious, but what have you told them?
Well, I think Matt did a great job. I had a lot of different coaches over his career and different offenses, and was a leader. You know, how physical you saw him, how physical that he played, and how he won a team over. So I think that's big on that level to win a locker room over, and the way that he prepares, the way that he plays, I think he'll be able to do that.
Coach, if I could go back to something that you said yesterday, and it was a continuation of something that you've been talking about, and that's the state of college athletics right now with NIL. And it is a big concern, but is there anything that anyone can do about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have that answer, Paul, and it wouldn't matter if I did. You know, that's way above me to figure that out. I'm sure at some point they're going to have to cap something to figure it out, you would think, to make it somewhat level. But, you know, it's here, and like I said yesterday, I've just always said this is what's coming when they started it, and I'm happy for the players. I have not complained one time about that part of it. So, you know, I just think it's really naive for anyone to say that doesn't have to do with why players go somewhere. I mean, adults in the NFL, obviously when they sign with teams, a big part of it's the contract. And so 17, 18-year-old kids, it certainly is and certainly will be moving forward.
On that front, I mean, there are all kinds of reports out there that that agents are going around and calling schools and saying, you know, you either pay this or my guy is taking off, going somewhere else, or I'll take this person somewhere else. And I realize these are complicated things to talk about for a head coach, but it does seem like it is going on everywhere, and I just wonder how you deal with it, because it's a reality, but it's also a stark contrast to what we've known in college athletics.
It is. I hear a lot of that. Our assistant coaches hear a lot of that. You know, I can't deal with that directly, so, you know, I don't know. But that is the world that we're in, and now they're basically getting agents and shopping around. And so, like I said before, there's nothing wrong with that. Adults take jobs all the time. Coaches take jobs and go to places, you know, for $100 million contract. So to say that the players that they sign wouldn't, doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Before you go, let's talk about spring practice and what you expect. Some really great players are out there right now, as you well know, and you're losing them. But how do you feel about this 22 Ole Miss team?
Well, we have a lot of holes to fill. Like you said, a lot of great players out here that were very productive and did a great job for us. And so, you know, that is a great thing about the portal and the setup that you can, you know, have free agency and you can fill holes a lot easier than you could and quicker. You know, we had 12 guys here for practice right now that are brand new, you know, portal college transfers. So that's very unusual. And, you know, that'll continue. You know, last year we got our center right before training camp. So, you know, it is where it is now, and that is the good thing. You can lose some great players and not dip way down like you did before and have to wait for your freshman to be ready to play.
Coach, we'll let you get back to the pro day. I know there's a lot of activity going on. We look forward to talking to you again very, very soon. Thank you, Coach.
All right, Paul, thanks. Have a good one.
You got it. Lane Kiffin joining us from Pro Day, where you can tell it was pretty loud and distracting. I felt for him trying to carry on a conversation right in the middle of balls whizzing by his head. Let's get to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Uncle Paul. I got a question about an article I read. Are you familiar with Bama Hammer?
No.
It's a website. Are you familiar with the journalist Ronald Evans?
I am not.
He wrote an article stating that Tennessee Volunteers are now the number one school buying players.
Well, I mean, again, I'm sure anybody can say anything or write anything or say or broadcast anything, but I have no earthly idea what he's talking about.
A young man committed this past weekend to Tennessee, and he's saying that a conglomerate got together and made an $8 million deal
That was first reported by The Athletic and Stuart Mandel. We had Stuart on here the other day, and he talked about that story. He was careful how he couched it, because I don't think he mentioned the individual's name, but I do think that is going. Yeah, but again, there's a big difference between a conglomerate being involved, which in theory is legal, and making an accusation that a university is buying a player, which is illegal.
That was the headline that caught my attention to read the article. Was Tennessee Volunteers now number one in buying players?
Well, I would say that is an inflammatory headline, and the purpose of that headline is to do what it accomplished, and that's to get you and others to read it. But, and I know I'm parsing words here, Mitch, but that is not accurate. You can get players. I just asked Lane a minute ago. There are literally agents out there today who are calling people connected to schools saying, hey, if you want this guy, it will cost you X number of dollars. So, yes, I mean, in my mind, in your mind, schools are buying players. They're not doing it directly, though, but they are doing it.
No, I agree with everything you're saying. I was just curious if you had even saw it. It was the reason why I was bringing it up.
Well, I've heard about it. I have heard about it, yes. It's a new world, and I think Coach Kiffin was very low-key about it a minute ago, but it is going on. Hey, thank you for the call. Meanwhile, Pete Thamel has an interesting story. With all these coaching changes, many of you were wondering what would happen to Frank Martin, really a beloved coach at South Carolina, who did TV over the weekend. Thamel is reporting right now that he has emerged as a target in the UMass basketball search. That's a really good basketball job up there in Amherst. John Calipari took them to the Final Four about 25 years ago. We are coming back with much, much more, including the current women's coach of the number one team in the country, Dawn Staley. She'll join us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.